greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. The opening and the children's lesson in that second to last song, followed by the last song, has filled my being with a mixture of emotions. Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Still he grieves and still he suffers when we mar the brotherhood. Kindle in us love's compassion, so that every one may see in our fellowship the promise of the new humanity. And then we sing of heaven, the new humanity, and we have a taste of that. But oh, how the devil wants to destroy it, as we heard in Judah's opening. Thank you, brother, for sharing. He knows the power of a united brotherhood. He knows the power when brothers and sisters work together and are one and have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ and go forth and are that promise. The fellowship, our fellowship shows the promise of the new humanity. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this the good news? What are we willing to give up? Or how important am I and my things and my ideas? Is it so important that I'm willing to ruin, to mar the brotherhood, to put a black mark on our fellowship, on our brotherhood, and to allow some soul to be able to say, that this fellowship doesn't have the promise of the new humanity? What is so important in light of eternity? Is there anything so important on this earth? Anything. When we think of being in eternity, and eternity has been attempted to be described in many different ways. If a bird would take a grain of sand from the earth, one grain of sand every year, all the supply of sand on the earth would be exhausted and eternity would still not be over. And so when we think about the maybe 80 years that all of us will get, and we think that in contrast to eternity, what is so important to you? What is so important to I? What is so valuable that I can't say, hey, it's okay. I prefer your preference over my preference. If that in any way mars the brotherhood, then why would I lift up myself, exalt myself, and my preference become more important? Let's remember that we are not here today. We are not in this brotherhood, in this fellowship. If we are, we shouldn't be, just because we want to be. Should we? Should we be here just because we want to be? Because I like it here. Because it's nice here. Or should we be here because the Spirit of God has led us to be here? Do we believe that Jesus as the head of the body, is truly moving his members so that they strengthen one another. So let's remember that Christ is the head, that we are his members, and that we are to care for each other and to have compassion for each other. Maybe you all find it different in your life, but in my life, there have been many good intentions. I was going to do this. I want to do that. I plan to do this. And somehow life goes on. I still haven't done that. I'm lacking in this area. So in light of what we heard in the opening this morning and what Reuben shared in the children's lessons, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would think like Jesus thinks, that we would all be of one mind, we would all be thinking like Jesus thinks, I would just like to encourage that we all remember each other with compassion, with benevolence, with love, and care for each other. Easy for us to think somebody else will care for that person. Somebody else will care for that person. Somebody comes to your mind, comes to my mind. How easy it is to become distracted. I'll call him tonight. I'll call her later. I'll send her a text then. And we forget. Is it possible that those promptings are not just random thoughts that come into our mind, but rather that they are the Spirit of God prompting us, when the Spirit of God, who knows all things and knows all of our brethren, and it is the Spirit of God that unites us together as one, that Spirit is prompting me to call this brother or that brother a word of encouragement, a word of caution, whatever it may be. And we quench the spirit. We just don't heed to it. I'd like to invite you to rise, and we'll start with prayer before we continue on here. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, our Savior, our Redeemer. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to believe and to be changed, to become new creature. Thank you for hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. I pray, Father, that if there are any souls here that still have a hard heart, a stony heart, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would be willing to allow you to give them a fleshly heart, a heart of love and compassion. Father, as we have gathered here this morning, we feel a great need of your Spirit. We feel a great need for you to move in our midst and to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct our path. Oh, Father, forgive us where we have erred. Help us, Father, in our ways. We are a needy people, and we need you, God, to lead us, to guide us, and to help us, Father, to be humble and broken before you. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would take these words that you have laid on my heart and that you would break them, that it would be nourishment for us, and that our faith would be strengthened and increased. Thank you, Father, for this gathering. Thank you for every soul. I pray that you would bless each and every one, prosper them, give them peace. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So for the message this morning, it is a teaching, a fairly practical teaching, a teaching that I wasn't sure, should I teach it here? Or should we just have a discussion on it? But as I listen to the opening and the children's lesson, I'm persuaded that God has, again, known when to put this teaching on my heart. Some time ago, there was a request that came for a teaching on the holy kiss and greeting each other with the holy kiss, and I felt led to share on that. And as I was sharing, as I was studying for this and preparing for this, I wasn't sure how to. So why do we do this? What is the reason? What is the root? And I feel like the opening has laid a good foundation for us to talk about greeting each other with the holy kiss. I would see this as one of those practices that is quite easy for Christians to think of as insignificant or maybe even optional. When we look at Christianity in general, what is the understanding of greeting each other with the holy kiss? And there's a couple of others of those that may seem insignificant or optional, and I don't think we'll have to have time to get into those, but maybe I'll just touch on them at the end, and it can stir our hearts and minds on those as well. So I titled the message today, The Inward and the Outward, How They Affect Each Other, or I also thought of titling it Outward Forms of Spiritual Realities. So tonight, Lord willing, we'll be having communion. And at the end of communion, we'll be washing feet. Now, why do we wash each other's feet? Is it because we were out walking and we all have dirty feet and we don't want to, start walking home with dirty feet? Is that why we wash each other's feet? No. If we turn to John chapter 13, and I trust we'll be hearing more of this evening, but let's turn to John chapter 13. Read a couple verses here, starting in verse 14. This is after the dialogue between Jesus and Simon Peter when Jesus was wanting to wash his feet. Peter didn't want to, and then he wanted to be washed all over because he was so desperate to have a part of Christ. He wanted to make sure that his head and his hands and everything was washed. In verse 14, Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do it as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So the principle in washing each other's feet is a spiritual reality. And when I talk about a spiritual reality, what happens with our spirit and what happens in the spiritual realm when we bow before each other and we wash each other's feet? If we do it in sincerity and truth. Now, obviously, it is possible in all of these things, and I believe that is why it's so important to teach on these practical outworking or these practices, so that they don't become a shallow form of something that we just do because our grandfather did it, and that's just how we do. That's just how Christians do. But we don't really understand the spiritual significance of it. Does something really happen in our spirit and in our heart? Does something happen in the spiritual realm? Is there some understanding that is communicated? Likewise, in, say, baptism, for example, it seems like in baptism there's clearly a spiritual realm is aware that this person has made a change, that this person has denied self, this person had died to self. There's something that happens. So that is an example. What about the holy kiss? Is it also just an outward form? Do we just greet each other with the holy kiss because, there's a couple scriptures that say we should? Or why do we greet each other with the holy kiss? I'd like to look at that, and I'd like to look at a couple of word studies, and we'll look at, are there times when we should not greet each other? When should we? And how should we greet each other with the holy kiss? So let's turn to a number of scriptures and look at these scriptures that talk about greeting each other with the holy kiss. We'll first turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 16. So if we can just put ourselves in the context of these scriptures, Paul is in Rome, or Paul is... Actually, I forgot to look where exactly Paul is in when he's writing this, but he's writing to the Romans. He's ending his letter, and he's saying, salute and greet are interchangeable. They're the same Greek word. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So multiple churches of Christ were saluting the people in Rome. Next reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 20. Again, he's closing this first letter, and he says, to the churches of Asia salute you, greet you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. And then he says, greet ye one another with an holy kiss. So if this were titled 1 Bethlehem, chapter 16, verse 20, and he would have written this letter to us, how would we understand this? We understand that we're getting greeting from Brother Paul, wherever he is. There's greetings coming from the churches over in Asia, and Aquila and Priscilla. And then he says, greet ye one another with the holy kiss. So I think it's very clear that he's writing to the Corinthians and he's saying, you all are to greet each other with the holy kiss. Next one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And again, this is Paul writing. Ending his letter, and he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Just a very clear instruction that they were to greet each other. And then we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26. Here we could start in verse 14, where Paul says, now we exhort you, brethren. And I don't know, it would probably be a little bit of... putting the small children on the spot too much, but if you remember the homeschool program, the younger class had memorized this. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Again, let's put ourselves in this context. Paul is exhorting us to warn them that are unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, to be patient toward all men. I think all of these things fit in very well with what Judah was teaching us. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourself and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. And greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And I think we can say that includes us as all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then the final scripture we'll turn to is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, he's closing out that epistle or the letter to the church. Again, he's sending greetings and he's encouraging the people that are reading the letter to greet one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, are these five scriptures enough reasons for us to just greet each other with a holy kiss? I think they most certainly are. But sometimes when we consider the reason that the Bible tells us to do something, when we think about the meaning, what are we doing here? Like the feet washing is about committing to serve each other. It's about bowing our spirit to the spirit of the brothers. It can help us to do these things from our heart, not just because everybody else does so. So I'd like to look at the words greet and salute. We've heard both of those numerous times in reading these scriptures. That is the Greek word in the Strong's. It's 782, and I'm not going to attempt pronouncing the word. It's quite a lengthy word, but it means to enfold in the arms. That is by implication to salute, to welcome, embrace, greet, salute, take leave. So to welcome can mean to embrace, to greet, to say hi, to welcome, and to take leave. If we look it up in just the dictionary of our day, it means to address with expression of kind wishes, to salute in kindness and respect. To address at meeting, to address in any manner. To pay compliments at a distance, to send kind wishes to. And so we see all of those definitions in these scriptures that we read. They paid compliments at a distance. They send it in a letter. Aquila and Priscilla greet you, and all the people that are in their house, they greet you. To meet and address with kindness or to express kind wishes accompanied with an embrace. And salute is very similar. Salute actually has one definition that means to kiss. So, a couple other scriptures on greeting, or a couple scriptures on greeting. One scripture that stood out to me as I was studying this was in Luke chapter 11, verse 43. Jesus said, "Woe unto the Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market." So I think maybe we need to be careful if we're, maybe especially us as elders need to be careful that we don't like when people say, "Oh, Pastor David," there, and that there's a desire just for the greeting. So that's a warning that Jesus gave about greetings. In Luke chapter 15, verse 18, is the account of the prodigal son, and also of the son who was unforgiving and did not welcome his son back. Let's read from verses 18 to 21. This is when he came to himself, and he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. We see the father, when he saw his son, despite all the wickedness, when there was repentance, there was a coming towards the father ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. I think you would say he probably greeted him with a holy kiss. And there's, I think if we actually, let's turn now to Luke chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 36 to 48. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and he stood at his feet behind him weeping, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began washing his feet with her tears. What was she crying about? Any ideas? What was she crying about? I think she was crying because she was a lost sinner. And she knew Jesus had the ability to forgive her sins. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, and let's just catch that, he was thinking within himself. He didn't say it out loud. So he was just thinking, if this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I don't know how you would all feel if you were hosting someone. And you thought, now this guy, just what is he thinking? And then he obviously was reading your thoughts. And he started talking with you about exactly what you were thinking. I don't know, we're planning to have some guests this afternoon, so I guess maybe I need to be aware and careful. But Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor that had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him the most. In our way of saying, we could say somebody owed a debtor $100,000 and another owed him $10. And so he forgave both of them, which is probably going to like him the most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So A couple of things that I'd like to point out from this and also from the previous scripture is the Father and Jesus' example of, and there, when someone repented, they were embraced. And then the other thing I'd like to just point out here is that it was customary at that time. Obviously, Jesus would have somewhat expected a kiss from Simon. You didn't greet me. Like, that's what was wrong with me. Why didn't you kiss me? As if that were a normal thing for them to do. So, let's reflect back to Peter did not call it the holy kiss. He called it the kiss of charity. And I think that is a description of the reason that we greet each other with the holy kiss. Now, I know some families are more affectionate than others. I think it is good to show our affection to each other. And I'm going to suggest that as a culture, as a background coming from, especially those of us who came from Amish, and maybe I'm just talking from my experience, so forgive me, and please feel free to share at the end of it, but it's not very common or typical for there to be a lot of affection shown amongst parents and children, or among siblings. Did you as brothers embrace each other when you maybe somebody was on a trip and then you came home and it's like, oh, so good to see you. Or you came home from work and mom gave you a hug and it's like, good to see you, my son. How is it today? I guess what I'm saying here is that culturally it's not just a normal thing, and maybe it's just a human thing, but I think it varies with cultures and to openly show affection. But that is what Peter is saying here. He says, greet one another with a kiss of charity, with benevolence, with affection. That word charity means affectionate, benevolence. It is the word agape. So we are a family of God, aren't we? We're brothers and sisters because we are adopted into the family of God. Because Jesus came, he died, he arose, he left, and he said that if we confess with our mouth that he is the Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we are saved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It simply means we are adopted into his family. That makes all of us brothers and sisters. Now, are we affectionate toward each other? Do we love to see each other? Does my heart skip a beat when I see a brother on the road or when I see a brother walking to my house? Am I delighted to see him? Do I look forward to a call? I don't know how you all feel about it, but I know that in our family, some of this is hopefully can continue to grow, and I would suggest the same thing in the church. Although I do feel that our church is fairly, we like each other. I mean, I don't, there's none of you that when I see you coming, I'm like, don't really. I guess I'll just give him a stiff arm, you know. But I think it's something that we really, when we understand the greeting, the holy kiss, it is a kiss of charity. It is a way of expressing that we are one family. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are in the same family. Jesus is our brother. I don't know if your family had a special brother or not. I mean, sometimes there's a young man in a family that everybody just likes him in a special way. I never really experienced that, but I've heard of that. Well, I think Jesus is that brother to us, just like we heard this morning. He's the brother that if we could all be like he is, we'd all, you know, he just always gets everything right. Everything he touches, just he gets it right. Now, when we see our brothers and our sisters, what do we see? Do we see what Jesus sees? When we see that broken, crying sinner begging for salvation, begging for compassion, begging for care, what do we see? When we see the prodigal son come running back to the father, are we like his brother? What is our response? Or do we, like his father did, warmly embrace him? So what does this outward form of greeting each other with a kiss of charity, what does that do for us inward? How does that outward, like the feet washing, how does it affect our inward? Might not affect anything. I've had experiences in the past where it was just very much a form. It was just something to get done Sunday morning. Just the ritual. There was no or very little drawing effect. And I believe that is what this does for us when we're able to look each other in the eye. We're able to smile to each other. We can say each other's name. And we can truly say, it's good to see you. God bless you. There's something that happens in the hearts of brothers and sisters as they do that. There is a drawing, there is a connecting, just in the same way that if we don't see each other for a long time, we will probably grow distant. If we don't communicate with each other, we'll probably grow distant. A relationship doesn't continue. But I believe that is the reason that Paul wrote that we should greet each other with a holy kiss is because he understands and knows that we are a family of God. He wants us to be affectionate toward each other beyond what we would be to non-believers, to people who are not part of our family. Just like I wouldn't expect that one of your children, if they were at our house and I came home, that they would run and embrace me like my little daughter does. I wouldn't expect that. We're not the same family. Now, there might be a different form of greeting. There might be a handshake. So I think it's good that we greet every man, right? But it's a different level or form of affection when we are brothers and sisters, when we're in the same family. So when should we salute each other with the holy kiss? Should it just be at communion? Should it be whenever we see each other? Should it be just Sunday morning? Bible doesn't say. It just says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Salute each other with the kiss of charity. I tend to think that our level of love for each other is going to have an impact on when we salute each other, when we greet each other. And I would suggest that as brothers and sisters, whenever we see each other, unless there's, you know, unless we're in the middle of a parking lot in Walmart, maybe our greeting would be slightly different than if we're here. And I think there is some wisdom in being sensitive to people around us, especially in the day and age that we live in and what could be communicated. But I think, if we walk into each other's shop or place of business or, you know, whatever, I think it's appropriate and fitting and would encourage that we greet each other with a greeting that shows that we are brothers and sisters. We're one. And also when we depart, when we leave, I found that interesting. And I remember, I think it might have been Elson and Ellen talking about in South American culture or Africa or wherever you were, it was very common for people went with you to your car or when you were walking, like they walked to the edge of their property. So there's also, and the word greet and salute would indicate that. That is, when you meet someone and when do you leave. And there's actually some early church writings that would strongly promote that as well. That when brothers are leaving, this might be the last time we see each other. How are we blessing each other and leaving each other? And I think we've seen that, you know, with Fernando's family and Ana and Javier's. There's often when they leave, they tell their friends goodbye. They tell brothers and sisters goodbye, and that's a blessing. So I think we can learn from those things. Is there ever a time or people that we should not greet? This is part of an early church writing. The holy kiss was distinguished as a ritual only to be taken part of by baptized Christians, with non-Christians not being greeted this way. So non-believers are not part of the family, and it shouldn't be, the holy kiss should not be practiced for people who are not believing. Now there can be other greetings of affection like a hug, but a kiss, I think we should refrain from. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, and I'll be reading a couple of scriptures here that I think would show us that there's places and times when we should refrain from greeting an individual. Romans chapter 16, and in verse 16, it is where we read that we are to greet each other with a holy kiss. And now in verse 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So I think there is a time and a place when we are to mark people if they cause divisions or offenses, and that would be a time when we would not greet someone. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 says, "If he neglect to hear them," this is in the context of talking with a brother, "if he neglect to hear the church," if he neglect to hear them, talking about two or three witnesses, "tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." And again, I think there's a separation for behavior. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11. "I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, but or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world." And now he's clarifying. You know, he wasn't saying that we can't interact or have conversation or communication with people out in the world who are not proclaiming Christ. What he's specifically saying here is that you not keep company of any man that is called a brother. be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. And so having that company, that fellowship, is that warm embrace. So I think there's a difference in how we greet a brother who has this, and especially if he neglect to hear the church. There's a couple more here, but I think we will, Second John chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, that Christ is come in the flesh, that and the doctrine of Christ." So if somebody comes to us and doesn't bring this doctrine, it says, "Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Don't give him a blessing. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So I think there are examples that if we are aware of these things in people, in a brother's life, and obviously if it's in our congregation, we should immediately address those things. But we should be careful to not be greeting and accepting someone as a brother if those things are true in their life. And also, this was touched on, I think Judah touched on it, in the slandering and talebearing. Joab, it's the story of Joab, or a happening of Joab, where he greeted Amasa, says, "And Joab," this is in 2 Samuel 20, verse 9, "And Joab said to Amasa, Art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him." So they were actually enemies. And he said, "Are you in good health, brother?" And he took him by the beard and kissed him. And then he drew a sword and smote him under the fifth rib, and his bowels all fell out. Would we do that? That's gross to think. We would never have a knife in our hand and go to greet someone and then stab them. But do we do that? Can we see that connection? How we might say, "Oh, God bless you, brother." And then the same day we stab him in the back. Let's be brothers and sisters. How should we greet each other with the holy kiss? Just says greet each other with the holy kiss. What's a holy kiss? Culturally, at that time, and according to other writings, it is most probable that it was a kiss on the cheek. It was very common, and I think in a lot of Eastern cultures still is, where there's a kiss on one cheek and a kiss on the other. And often it's just touching of the cheek and a kissing sound. I don't know that those things are as critical or as important as what is our heart as we greet each other. I think it's important that we're able to look into each other's eyes and love each other. When I look into your eyes, when I grasp your hand, and there are scriptures, I actually forgot to put those in my notes, that talk about greeting each, giving each other the right hand of fellowship and greeting each other in that. But when we grasp hands and we greet each other with the holy kiss, are we just, what's our heart? And if there is something, I think we need to first check our heart Where am I? Am I preferring my brother above myself? Am I being proud? Am I better than my brother? Am I looking down on my brother? Do I need to humble myself? Or is there something, a sin in my brother or sister's life that needs to be addressed and I just don't really feel to, don't really want to? Can we look each other in the face? Can we share that compassion? Can we express our care and love for each other? It's not just because of our feelings that we should do it, right? We shouldn't just greet whenever we feel like it. But if we're united by the Holy Spirit, if we're one, if the two of us who are greeting, if we're one in the Holy Spirit, then that is what unites us. That's what draws us together. And so let us greet each other in sincerity and in truth. 3 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14 says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee and shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." So here I think it's appropriate when we say each other's names. Greet the friends by name. Say each other's name. There's something about our name. I forget who shared about the power of words, but one of the most powerful words that can be spoken is a person's name. Something about our name and a connecting factor. So, my heart in sharing this message is that as believers, that we don't just have a form. And also that we don't just say, not that important. We can just fist bump. The holy kiss was just a cultural thing. Just as long as we kind of like each other. So I do think it's valuable to consider. And I guess there's a question that I would have. Think maybe this is more common amongst the sisters to just give each other a kind of a sidearm hug. Is that greeting each other with the holy kiss? Is it different for those who are believers versus non-believers? Those who have been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is there a different greeting? Is it important that it's a different greeting? I do think there's, I think it is important. And I think it'd be good to just, I guess the heart in all of this is that we don't let feet washing, greeting with the holy kiss. The other two that I had in mind to share on was lifting holy hands and laying on of hands is actually one of the foundational principles of the doctrines of Christ. If you look at Hebrews chapter 6, laying on of hands is one of the foundational things, or one of the foundational teachings, one of those foundation stones that he says we shouldn't just go back and rebuild on that. But I do think it's something that, again, what has our teaching been? It just goes to show that the teaching that we have, the experiences that we have growing up in our background, those things can be, like for me as a little boy, if somebody would have raised their hand in prayer, everybody would have wondered what it. So I think it's valuable for us to consider those things. Why would Paul say to Timothy, "I would that all men everywhere pray without wrath and doubting, lifting holy hands"? Is that word less important or less valuable or less authoritative than greet each other with the holy kiss? It was the same Paul. It was also the very next paragraph that he says, in like manner, he doesn't want the women to be adorning themselves with outward adorning, expensive clothing, braiding of the hair. We seem to kind of latch on to that verse. But brothers, what about lifting holy hands? And if our hands aren't holy, then better do something about it. I don't understand all of what that does or means, but it's very clear when you start looking in the scriptures in Psalms, people go into the temple, people go in to make sacrifice. David mentions it a number of times. Job mentions it a number of times. Solomon ended his prayer. He began his prayer standing with his hands outspread to heaven, and he ended the prayer kneeling with his hands outspread. I'm not sure how all of that changed, but at the end of the prayer, it says he arose from his knees and he was standing when he started. What happens when we lay hands on each other as we pray? I don't know that I understand all of the things that happen in inwardly and in our spiritual being and in the spiritual realm, but I believe it's there for a reason, and I believe we should practice it. So with that, let me just close with 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. God bless.